Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. We thank God for you tuning in with us on today. We give God the glory for all things. This is Pastor Ulysses Morgan, and I'm here with you on Let's Talk Bible. Amen. A Bible study class that we tried to come to you with. Amen. And expound upon the Word of God. We praise God for those of you who are listening in. We thank God for Jesus. Amen. Our purpose and our main quest is to build the kingdom of God. Amen. In the lives of his believers, and hopes to win those who may not understand exactly who he is. I thank God for Jesus. Thank God for you tuning in and listening and believing with all that I have that this word has blessed you in some way. Amen. And that the prayers, your prayers have been answered. We're going to get ready to go into the Word of God on tonight. And we have a very good Bible class I think we're going to be talking about tonight. Amen. And we spoke of this on last night in our classes that we teach, and we're going to give it to you on tonight. And I believe it's going to bless your soul. Amen. The topic of tonight's message is going to be, amen, too much love. We're gonna talk about that, glory to God, tonight, and try our very best to explain to you the meaning of what God is doing. Too much love. Amen. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this hour, this time, in which you have allotted me to share the knowledge that you've given me on the air. To those who may be listening to this broadcast, we thank you right now for the revelation of your word through the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. As he impart unto us the knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, God, allow your anointing to flow through these airways and touch those who are in need at this time. Amen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It has always been my profound task or will to bring a truth of the Word of God. And I'm not saying I'm the only one that has that, but I do know that God has anointed me to bring forth the truth of the Word of God to the people of God that they can understand the Word more clearly. Glory to God. And so this is what we're trying to do today as we go forth into this class. Amen. The topic scriptures that we're going to come from is going to be Genesis 22. And we're going to talk about Abraham and how God used him to test his love for him. I'm here to tell you that from the beginning of Adam and Eve, God has always tested the love for him with his people. You cannot say that you are a Christian. You cannot say you love God. You cannot say you're saved. You cannot say that God is with you without him testing your words. Glory to God. He will test what you say. You have to be careful, glory to God, about what you say because it's coming to pass. And there are times when God has to test us to see how much love we have in other things that is more important than him in our lives. We often say we put God first. We often say that he's first in our lives. But the test is going to prove who's actually first. We read in the gospel, I believe Jesus said, that we should love the Lord thine God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. I learned this from the Methodist Church before I actually read it in the Word of God. And he said, the second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But the first commandment, he says, and the second, all on these two hang all the laws and the prophets, which indicates to me that there is no scripture more powerful than these two. And if we dedicate our lives to performing these two scriptures, everything else can fall in place. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy spirit, and all thy mind. Glory to God. And we need to understand that. So let's see how God tested Abraham, amen, and see where his actual love was toward. I'm going to read Genesis 22:1, and I may skip around, so please bear with me. So, and it came to pass, after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee. Third verse says, and Abraham rose early in the morning, amen, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood in the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this word, and we thank you always for reading the precious word of God, because we know that you're going to back your word up. We know that you're going to do that. We thank you right now for allowing me to, I thank you for allowing me the privilege coming before these people as they hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Guide my tongue, O God, my spirit and my heart, that I may speak the oracles of God for edification. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We find here that God, the Bible says in the first verse, if you would read it, listen to this. It says, God did tempt Abraham, or tested Abraham. He tested Abraham. Every child of God will go through a test. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you are. If you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to know God, God's going to test you. Now, the question is, why does God do that? He tests you because there is something great that he wants to do in your life. But he has to make sure that your mind is geared up of glorifying him for what he has done for you. So the test that God takes you through seems tedious at the time. It seems hard. It seems puzzling. You're confused, and you get tired. You get upset. It seems like the same old routine, the same thing. But God will give you inklings of what he's about to bring you into, but he never said to none of us. He never said to Peter. He never said to Paul. He never said to anybody he ever used then and now that you would not have to be tested to prove your faithfulness toward the blessings he's about to pour out in your life. You have to understand that principle. God's getting ready to do it. And he's getting ready to do it, I know, to somebody who's listening to me right now. God is getting ready to work a miracle on your behalf. He tempted Abraham, and I'm just going to go ahead on and go over the story. We find that Abraham went up, and when he was about to slay his son, the angel called him and told him not to do that, because now he knows that you have put God first. Amen. Now he knows. 11th verse says, and the angel of the Lord called upon Abraham out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou any thing unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from him. God says, I'm giving you a blessing. I want to see that I want to know that the blessings that I've given you hasn't taken the place of your love for me. Glory to God. Abraham was an old man. He had Isaac. Isaac was the promise that God had given him. Glory to God. And Abraham loved this boy, loved him. But God had to tempt him with what he loved the most. It may not be your child. It may be some material thing that you have been blessed with. It could be a car. It could be a house. It could be clothes. Amen. It could be money. Whatever you have been testifying about that God has blessed you with, amen, he tempts you with or tests you with what he's blessed you with, because he wants to know. Somebody said, well, God is all-knowing. He knows it even before, you know, we get it, how we're going to react. There are times when God chooses not to look into your future because he wants your genuine attention, your genuine love. He wants to know you love him from a genuine heart. This is why he doesn't dictate your mind. He doesn't control your mind. Amen. He doesn't push your mind. He lets you make your own decisions. Amen. Maybe he knew you were going to fall in a trap, but notice, glory to God, he warns you once, and after that, he lets you go because he gave you to be an individual yourself with your own mind, your own will. God doesn't want you serving him as a robot. He doesn't want to dictate your thoughts and dictate your heart. He wants you to love him for who he is, not necessarily for what he can give you. Glory to God. But there is a task, an assignment that is attached to your life that God wants to perform. And as he performs this, he blesses you in the process, but he wants to know that you're serving him for who he is and not for what he can give you. So when the blessings come, you're always going to be tempted in that area, no matter what it is. And most people leave God. Oh, yes, we still go to church, and we still throw our hands up and say hallelujah. And we still, but if you notice, I've seen it several times, glory to God. As a pastor, I've seen it several times that when God, before God blesses a person, they are faithful to him in every area. They're faithful in their giving. They're faithful in their participation. They're faithful in their coming to church. They're faithful in their worship. They're faithful in their praise. Glory to God. And when the blessings come and overflow them, glory to God, they're not as faithful as they used to be. Glory to God. Now they've got to take care, they say, of what God blessed them with. God will never give you a home to keep you out of church. I don't care how much it needs to be clean. I don't care what's happening in it. God never blesses you with a car to keep you out of church. Glory to God. Amen. Because normally you got pulled from everybody now wanting you to do this and that right at the time that they know that this is your worship time, your church time, your praise time, your prayer time, and God has to test you to see how much you love him. Now, there are consequences in this. Amen. The consequences of having too much love for something can cost you a world of trouble. Can cost you a world of trouble. Amen. And we see this. And I'm going to just give you the scripture. I won't turn there, but we see this in Judges, glory to God, with Samson. Samson loved Delilah, and he had too much love for her, to the point of him being blind, that he couldn't even see that she was trying to find out how to weaken him. And she finally got to the point where he told her all of his heart and what God told him and told her where his strength was, and she went and caused his strength to leave. The Philistines came upon him, and because he obeyed her, and because he loved her more than he loved God, glory to God, that he suffered the consequences. The first thing that happened was his strength left. The second thing happened was he was blinded. The third thing happened that he died prematurely because he placed his faithfulness, he placed his love, he placed his tribute, he placed his allegiance to something that was not God. Amen. Now, he got his strength back, but he never got his sight back. He suffered the consequences of putting too much love in one place. Amen. Another one that we can talk about is Lot's wife in Genesis 19:26. Amen. He says, Lot, he says, you've got to go. When you go, do not look back, because I'm about to destroy this place of sin and misery that insults God, creation. I'm going to destroy it, and when I get you to leave, amen, I don't want you to look back at all, because there's nothing back there that you need or have to have. God has an assignment for you, and this is the reason we cannot destroy the city until you leave. And many of you listening to me right now, you have an assignment that God has called you to. What are you going to trade that assignment in for? Along with that assignment comes an anointing, comes blessings, amen, comes promotion that you couldn't imagine. But then there are things that are placed in front of you. And a lot of times Satan puts those things in front of you. And the question you need to ask is, what are you willing to trade for the assignment that God has called you on? What are you willing to trade for the destiny that God has called you on? We must understand the realization of this. And so what happened is Lot took his family and went away. And when they got so far and heard the destruction, amen, everybody kept their eyes. Lot, his daughters, everybody kept their eyes forward. But Lot's wife turned around and looked back. And the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back. She wanted to see what was going on. She didn't want the destruction of something that was not God. It seems as though she just loved what was back there so much until she just had to look back and see. And she suffered the consequences because she put her love too much in something that was not God. You have to understand this principle. Glory to God. I'm going to give you two more, and I'm rushing because I know my time is getting very short, but we're gonna talk about it. Then we're gonna talk about why this is. Esau and Jacob. Esau was Jacob's older brother. Esau was out hunting and came in, and he was hungry. And Jacob wanted his birthright, and he swindled. He how can I say it? The old people used to say conjured in his mind. How can I get the birthright from Esau? And so he knew Esau. He thought for a minute. He thought he knew Esau would be hungry when he coming in, because he was just coming out from the woods. He knew he would be hungry. And Esau, amen, came in. Jacob had prepared a pot of stew, and it was smelling so good to Esau. And Esau came and asked his brother to give him something. He said, no, I can't. What are you going to give me in return? Always be weary of people who are willing to trade you, glory to God, because of your needs. Amen. When they catch you at a vulnerable situation, amen, be careful of people who want to trade. Amen. And he said, what do you mean what I need to trade? He says, you got to give me something if I give you something. He says, Jacob says, I want your birthright. Esau says, well, the birthright doesn't mean anything to me now. I am hungry. I'm about to die of hunger. You can have my birthright. Just give me the stew. And so look what he favored over a lifetime of blessings. A potter stood. He traded in his lifetime of blessings, his position with God, for a potter stood. He ate it and lost his birthright. This is the same Jacob who had the same 12 sons, glory to God, who became the tribes of Israel. Glory to God. He lost it. And he suffered consequences. Now he's upset. He's mad with his brother, glory to God, because his brother, he felt, swindled him out of his birthright. He's lost everything. He has no clout now. He has nothing of his father, amen, because he traded it in for one pot of stew to satisfy his flesh. He traded his birthright in. What do you love more than God? There are consequences when you put too much love. I was going to church one morning, and I lived in the suburbs, and as I was going to church, there was a member that stayed down the street and next to the pastor, and as I was leaving the pastor's house, I looked over, and he was polishing a vintage Cadillac. This was a Sunday morning. Everybody's getting ready to go to church. He was polishing a vintage Cadillac, and he was there, and we were wondering, was he going to make it to church, because we knew how long it took to get there, and he says he's going to make it, but when we got to church, he wasn't there, and he came in almost halfway the service, glory to God, and I thought about it, and it stuck with me from this day, amen, because it was way back in the 70s, and yet I thought about it. This man is polishing a car that he said God blessed him with. But he cannot go and give God the time and be on time for God's worship, because he's polishing and he's putting more love in what God gave him. Amen. He served what he got. He served what was given to him more than the giver. Glory to God. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into that temptation. We'll fall into that groove. Amen. This is why the Bible says, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Be aware. Stay in prayer. Amen. Be aware. Stay in prayer. Ask God to open your mind, your spirit and heart, to see yourself, to see your spirit, to see your conscience, to see your heart, to see your mind, to see the direction you're thinking. Glory to God. I constantly do it. And I know I've constantly, glory to God, got out of line at times with God. And if I did everything right, I'd be further along. If you did everything right, you'd be further along than what you did. And my point in that is we have to take time to ask God to search us. Let us see ourselves. You cannot put too much love and somebody or something more than God. He's going to test you with it. And the test is going to come right when he's getting ready to pour you out blessings you don't have room enough to receive. But he wants to make sure that you don't put all your love in what he gave you and not put it in the one who gave it to you. That's the kind of God we serve. Glory to God. Rahab in Joshua 2:18. Rahab was a harlot, and she lived among her own people. But when she found that the men of God came in, and she understood the power of God, she understood these men and who they were, glory to God, what she did, she went toward God of these men instead of her own people. Because she understood the power of God. She didn't put more love in who she was, who her city was. She didn't put more love in her city than she put in God. She housed those men. She protected those men. And in the outcome, when the city was destroyed and everything in that city, her house was spared. Now, how in the world can we think that God would spare a house of a prostitute, glory to God, when there were many in the city who did not do that kind of stuff, and yet they died? All because, amen, of where her heart was. She understood the power of God. We have to understand what God is all about in our life. We talk good. We preach good. We teach good. We try to tell others about good. We try to expound the word of God. And we try to show people about our Christianity. Glory to God. But you've got to understand that every time you open your mouth, God is going to test you to see, do you love him more than you love what he has? You cannot put too much love. You can overlove certain things. You can overlove certain people. Amen. I've been disappointed several times because I overloved too many people. Glory to God. I put too much trust in them. I put too much love in them. And when you do that, you set yourself up to be hurt. Pray. God, thank God for Jesus. And I say, glory to God, as the prophet said, amen. Thanks be to God, which giveth me the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. He can give you the victory. There are many of you that's listening to me right now who has been disappointed because the one that you thought would never let you down would never turn. Glory to God. The thing that you thought you would never lose, glory to God, has let you down and you've lost. And now you think it's all over. It's not over. It's not over. Amen. But God has given you an opportunity to see yourself. You've got to see you. Don't try to worry about who else is seeing you. When you see yourself and you know what needs to change in you, then you get it together with God, because he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. We've got to understand that. So, as I said, and I'm getting ready to conclude this, you must understand, where's your love at? Where's your heart at? Glory to God. Back up. Be cautious. Guard your mind. Guard your heart. Put it in Christ. Put your trust in Jesus. He's the only one that can see you through. He'll make ways out of no way. Glory to God. I don't want to serve what I have more than the person who gave it to me. I don't want to serve things and money and building and all this kind of stuff and titles. All of that, that's secondary. Amen. My heart is serving God, because all of us right now has to meet him one day. Glory to God. And I want to get my blessings on this earth, but I want to make sure that I understand who it is that's blessing me and what it is he's blessing me for. We have to understand these principles. God is good. He's good all the time. And he'll make a way for you out of no way. But you've got to give him your heart. Nothing else. Nobody else. Because as soon as you get out of line, disappointment, discouragement, troubles, everything is coming. And then and you can't get frustrated with it. You've got to put yourself in the position of knowing. Glory to God. This is not God's doing. He's trying to help me. He's trying to show me. And I'm trying to say this to you that's listening to me right now. God wants to help you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you what you need to have. There's an assignment for you. Amen. You can fulfill that assignment. Amen. Put God first in everything. And tests are going to come. They're going to come. Amen. To prove, to see, as he did Abraham, glory to God, he's going to try you. Don't disappoint him, and watch the miracles happen in your life. Not only materialistically, not only monetarily, but also P.O. Box 492 is my mailing address. We'd love to hear from you. We want you to call us and let us know who you are. Amen. And then go from there. Our time is gone. We thank God for you being with us. This is Dr. Ulysses Morgan saying, God bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Go.